Here's what Connecticut is saying about Lisa Wexler.
I love your show. It's not only entertaining, but a public service.
Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
I think one of the things that many of us can agree on is that too often we speak across each other rather than really listen to each other. But our next guest, Boceo, has learned that listening to one's opponent is essential if one is going to win a debate. He joins us right now, Boceo, originally from South Korea, and making his way with his family at a relatively young but still impressionable age to Australia, eventually getting to this country where I understand he's now at Harvard Law. He's a two-time world champion debater and former coach of the Australian National Debating Team and the Harvard College Debating Union. I don't know why he wants to become a lawyer. Good luck to him. Bo Seo just wrote a book called Good Arguments. Hello, Bo. Welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show. Hello. Hello. You know I'm a lawyer too, right?
I'm so happy. I'm so happy to be with you.
Yeah. Did you know?
I did know that, actually.
Yeah. I'm a lawyer too.
God help us both.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a lawyer. I'm an author, just like you. But what you probably don't know about me, because I haven't, you know, made it a part of my bio yet, although I should, is that I'm an avid fan of K-drama. Avid, like crazy.
Oh, is that right?
Oh yeah, big time.
Well, there's a lot to like about it. It's very dramatic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's interesting to me because your accent completely defies your heritage. You don't have any trace of a South Korean accent at all.
Yes. Well, my appearance pays great respect to my heritage.
I'm sure. But you're not here in the studio with me. Do you ever watch any of the K-drama?
I do, actually. And what do you like? I liked Mine recently. And Sky Castle before that.
I just finished It's Okay Not to Be Okay. It's really quite something.
Oh, yeah.
It's really something.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
It's fabulous, yeah. And I can't get rid of the characters in my head. And in fact, the other day, It's Okay Not to Be Okay is a story about people who are in and out, to some extent, as patients, as caregivers in a psychiatric hospital. And I spend a fair amount of time in my afternoons in a psychiatric hospital, Bo, because I'm the local probate judge here, and that's part of what we do.
You are.
Yeah, we do the commitments and things like that. And I'm going there today. Anyway, but also everyone in the world, if they're paying attention, has people in their life that have psychiatric issues. You just have to look up and pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so It's Okay Not to Be Okay. One of the themes is butterflies, and particularly broken butterflies. Mm. And the other day I was at the airport in Vegas, and I took a picture of all these butterflies, this beautiful sculpture. And my hashtag was It's Okay Not to Be Okay. And my kids saw it, and they said, Ma, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you trying to say something to us? And I'm like, no, I'm good. They made me delete it. They thought it was too much inside baseball. Anyway, so Bo, you're a world-class debater. Let's talk about you. How and why?
All right.
How and why did you get into debating to begin with? What was the attraction?
You know, it started because I moved, and I didn't speak English when I arrived in Australia from Korea. And I quickly learned that the hardest part of that is live conversation, where the rhythms jump around and the passions run, and it's very easy to get spun out. And I joined the debate team counterintuitively because of one promise that an elementary school teacher made to me, which is that in debate, when one person speaks, no one else does. And for someone who was used to being talked over or ignored, that promise of attention and a little bit of stillness was really a kind of a life raft. And once I joined, I found that, and I found much more. And it so happened that I ended up giving almost all of my relatively short life to this activity.
And debating is very interesting. I remember high school debate. There are a lot of there are a lot of rules around debating, like a lot. So tell us a little bit about the rules of debate as it is formalized in competition.
Yeah, I think that's right, Lisa. And certainly the number of best practices and tips and advice that you can learn is almost endless, because the activity stretches all the way back to antiquity and its origins, and generations of debaters have been honing this craft since. But actually, the basic rules of the game are quite simple, which is you're given a topic. So it's something like that we should not eat meat or something like that. And then you're randomly assigned to either argue for the topic or against the topic. Each team gets an equal amount of time to present their case and to respond to that of the opponent. And you take turns. So I speak, the other team speaks, and either me or someone else on my team gets a chance to respond. And that promise of equal time, equal attention on a shared topic of focus, that's really the basic structure of debate.
And who judges it? We're chatting with Bo Seo. The book is called Good Arguments. Who judges whether or not your argument is compelling enough to win?
There's usually an impartial third person who's called the adjudicator, who is sort of instructed to almost act like a member of a jury. So they're not meant to bring specialist knowledge. They're not meant to consider their own beliefs or commitments, but rather to listen in the round and to answer the question, who was more persuasive? And debate is one of the few places where you as the adjudicator might say, even though I disagree with this team, I can acknowledge that they were the more persuasive team in this conversation. They had the better arguments, they responded more forcefully to the other side, and that kind of willingness to tip one's hat in some ways to people we disagree with is something that you see all the time in debate that I think we could do more of in our day-to-day conversations.
So you participated in debate in Australia, and then you went to Harvard College. Did you continue your debating? Well, that's where you continued your debating. You became a world-class debater, right?
That's exactly right. So yeah. The high school tends to be organized around countries, and at the university level, it tends to be around schools. And so I competed for Australia and then for Harvard.
I'm just thinking about this because when I was in my debate in high school and I participated in debate, but I participated more as part of Model Congress, where it was a little bit more. It was a little more interrupting than the formalized debate. Like you could just, you know, you could object, Robert Rules of Orders, you carried on, whatever. People gaveled a lot.
Yes.
But I remember that some of the topics at that time, we're going back a long ways, had to do with whether or not Zionism was racism. That was a big one in my high school.
Is that right?
Yeah, that was a big one because we had a very predominantly Jewish public high school. And there was the UN resolution that Zionism was equivalent to racism, and how people voted on that was very controversial at that time about whether or not you stood with or against Israel. So that was a very big one. And
I
saw that in your book, we're chatting with Bo Seo, a lot of the current debates revolve around gender rights.
Yes.
And
I think that's right. I mean,
go ahead.
And Lisa, hearing you say that, you know, in some ways it's a kind of a funny image, isn't it? Thinking about high schoolers following some of the procedures of the National Congress, talking about weighty issues like Zionism. But in fact, you know, and I was a political reporter for some years before coming to law school, you kind of realize that, you know, having grown up thinking, oh, the grown-ups will take care of it or the experts will take care of it, I see more and more that that can be a kind of an abdication, that it's important for us as citizens to take responsibility for these issues, to equip ourselves with the skills and the knowledge to be able to participate in these discussions, because as you might have seen when you were competing in those kinds of Model Congress and debating about these issues, it's a kind of, it's an odd game and an activity, but it shows a great truth about our situation, which is that we are responsible for the governance of our country and for collective self-governance. That's the beauty of democracy. And the point that I want to make with the book is upholding that responsibility and doing that work goes a lot easier when we have the skills to disagree well.
So what do you think is the essential conversational skill, the takeaway that you would want people to know after you have become this world-class debater?
There's so many, Lisa, and part of it is coming back to what an argument actually is. An argument is not just a kind of a random expression of one's opinions or anything that vaguely supports your case. It is a point that is backed up with reasons and backed up with evidence. And from that to the skill of listening, you know, and one of the things that people often forget about debate is, though we tend to focus on the speaker in the front of the room, the rest of the competitors are in the wings. And for the most of the time in a debate round, you're not speaking, you're actually listening, so that you're able to connect, so that even if you have a clear sense of where you want the listener to be at the end of the discussion, in order to get started, you have to know where they're coming from and where they're starting. So that skill of listening, which I, you know, I had to develop because I was an immigrant to a new place and I had to learn to read a room, to see how I was being received, to see what people were thinking. Those were skills that ended up being really important, and those are conversational skills that I think transfers quite easily from the world of debate into the realm of everyday conversation.
Yeah, and I think, frankly, we need a lot more of that. It also begins, frankly, with respect.
Yeah.
It begins with respect for the person you're speaking to and respect enough to stop your own talking and listen. Bo Sayo, the book is called Good Arguments. I feel like we could have a lot more conversation about this. Maybe we'll have a part two one day. I'll be looking forward to your to your legal career from Harvard Law School. Clearly, you have a very ambitious future ahead. And just one last question before we say goodbye. Have you chosen to stay in the United States of America, or are you going to go back to Australia? Where are you going to be?
I think I'm hoping to stay here for some time, Lisa.
All right. Well, we welcome you.
So hopefully I get to see you in person.
Absolutely. Bo Sayo on the Lisa Wexler Show, Good Arguments. We'll be right back.